Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. On Friday, 18th of April, Pope Benedict XVI becomes the third pope to address the United Nations at its New York headquarters, doing so on the occasion of the 60th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. As we know, the Holy See has a permanent observer mission to the United Nations, and the person who heads it is Archbishop Celestino Migliore. Let's listen to this interview with Jean-Patrick Lovett.
The other day, a journalist told me that a Pope frenzy can be seen in the corridors, a fervor with the visit of the Pope. About 2,000 journalists and correspondents have been accredited and are documenting. They want to talk with people who know the Pope, his thoughts, his work. They want to anticipate the issues on which he will speak in the General Assembly. Briefings for personnel, diplomats, and representatives of civil society were organized. All ask about what the Pope will speak on. And the question, though I cannot fully satisfy, does not embarrass me, because it means that the word of the Pope is reading of the world affairs, and his reflections count. One awaits the Pope as a moral authority capable of instilling goodwill and faith in the future. So this is why there is a great expectation.
Monsignor Migliore, the Pope's visit is coming on the 60th anniversary of the Declaration of Human Rights, which was proclaimed on December 10th in 1948. As representative of the Holy See to the United Nations, in your opinion, what are the most critical points of the application of that declaration today?
Well, the application depends primarily on the interpretation and value that one gives to the declaration. Today, one does not find only one of the most fundamental rights that is not neglected or violated somewhere in the world. And this is due to the persistent belief that the governments are to give the rights to citizens and determine the scope and extent, rather than consider them as innate rights and inherent in the human person. And then we need to raise legal cooperation. In fact, the production of the new standards and the perfection of mechanisms for implementation proceed at a high rate, and not all countries are able to keep the pace. In this sense, the legal cooperation among countries and the assistance of international organizations are valuable components and indispensable to the application of human rights.
Staying with the issue of human rights, what do you think can be the contribution of Pope Benedict XVI to that issue when he visits the United Nations?
From the beginning of his papacy, Pope Benedict has been able to capture and express what is the challenge of the 21st century, the relationship between faith and reason. And he is working tirelessly to create awareness on this issue and together find solutions to the impact that this crisis has on international peaceful coexistence, on the vision and implementation of human rights, on the conduct of politics and social life in every nation. The Pope is for a dialogue that involves the premise of each meeting, and this is the acceptance and the respect of the equal dignity of every person and human group. It is not just a premise. It requires a minimum common denominator in the vision that one has of man, of human life, and therefore of human rights, of democracy, of freedom, of coexistence among peoples.
The present U.S. ambassador to the Holy See, Professor Marianne Glendon, in a book recently described the problem of what she calls the hyper-individualistic interpretation of those rights. That's an interpretation to which the Pope pays special attention.
In fact, the trend that you mention empties the rights of their corresponding duties and makes of them just preferences or personal interests, divorced from any sense of responsibility towards others. It is important to maintain the philosophy that inspired the editors of the Charter. Otherwise, the system of the human rights turns against itself and becomes a tyranny of those who have resources, voice, and access, and can prevail on the weakest, dressing their interests of the noble concept of fundamental rights.
Monsignor Migliore, there are political observers today who claim that religions can be a destabilizing factor, that instead of adding to building peace, they can add to conflicts. They've even claimed that religions can sometimes be the causes of the clash, the so-called clash between cultures and civilizations. What's your opinion?
Well, unfortunately, it is true that sometimes religions are used to destabilize, divide, and fight. The issue is that we have to treat them for what they are, ways to give glory to God and make man joyful, and enable them to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. To them, we do not ask that they conduct peace operations, nor mediations or resolutions in their technical meaning. Religions must create a spirituality, culture, new humanity, thinking oriented to the care of man and of the world. Over the last 4 to 5 years, in the ambit of the United Nations, a great interest around religions has developed. But a real working hypothesis and a strategy do not seem to exist in order to channel this interest in a fruitful manner. The contribution that the Holy See delegation to the UN proposes to give comes rather in the sense of focusing the debate on all aspects of freedom of religion that involves governments, civil society, religions, and also with those that consider religion a problem and an obstacle to peace and to development.
Would you say that the voice of the Catholic Church is being heard in the context of the United Nations today?
Well, the Church is held in consideration above all for its contribution to maintain alive and nourish spirituality and transcendence, without which society fragments. In addition, its message based on universal fraternity, reconciliation, proximity with man and nature, makes it a natural ally in dialogue and cooperation for development. UN agencies, funds, and programs that operate in the fields of education, development, humanitarian assistance, maintain a relationship of collaboration with local churches also present in the most remote corners of the earth.
And our thanks there go to Archbishop Celestino Migliore, who heads the Holy See's Permanent Observer Mission to the United Nations. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.